Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Keltlefter, the home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sun Station. The Clippers proved to be long-range snipers.
Out to Rondo, and he hits a three.
Wow, that's the guy you want to shoot him.
And with CP3 out of the lineup, the Suns turn to their superstar to carry them to a Game 1 win.
Pass out front. Bridges picks it off. Two on one. Bridges to Booker to Bridges. Wham, bam, slam.
Talking the Suns up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Now.
Party people! Yeah! Tag team music in full effect. That's me, DC.
5 o'clock hour, Birds and Gambo show, 98.7 FM. Arizona Sports Station, live from the Auction Community Studios, coming off of a scoop. There it is.
Yeah.
By the Phoenix Suns, 120-114. Only one member of the four-member team of the Burns and Gambo show has a coordinated dance to this song, and her name is Sarah Cazell, and she was...
I mean, it's just from the commercial.
Yeah, well, and it was good. You had it. It was synchronized perfectly with me. Well done.
I have to admit, every single time that commercial comes on,
oh,
I have
it.
To do the little scoop thing
little
that
scoop.
The guy does at the end. Every single
Wrinkles!
Time.
Wrinkles!
Oh, it was a solid halftime show. I've been at all the games. It was the best halftime show I had so far. I loved that. It was great.
It was good. It was a lot of fun. We are waiting on that announcement that we were told would come down from the Phoenix Suns. It has not come down as of yet in terms of the latest injury report. If you're just tuning into the Burns and Gambo show, Gambo, you had the report about an hour and a half ago to expect a new injury report update from the Phoenix Suns at 5 o'clock today. Monty, earlier in the day, had said nothing has changed with Chris Paul. It's exactly the same. He's still in health and safety protocols. Is this just the official dotting the I's, crossing the T's NBA injury report for the Suns, or has something changed? We don't know. We will, as soon as we have it, we will bring it to you. We do not have it right now. Perhaps something has changed. Perhaps nothing has changed, and we'll get more information when it's available. But we're waiting on that right now from the Phoenix Suns and hoping to get some information on that. In the meantime, let's move ahead with what we were going to talk about here now, and then when we get that news, we'll certainly play the breaking news sounder and break into it. DeAndre Ayton and the role that he has played in this postseason for the Phoenix Suns has been nothing short of phenomenal in that he has forced the LA Lakers to make changes and adjust. He played Nikola Jokic, the MVP, to basically a draw over the course of four games. And then yesterday against the Clippers, he did it again. He forced Ty Lue to do things that I don't think Ty Lue wanted to do. He was experimenting on the fly to try to figure out a way to neutralize DeAndre Ayton, and it opened up everything else for the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, he just killed him. I mean, he was destroying him. I mean, I was telling people in the press box, like, they can't stop him. Like, they have no answer for DeAndre Ayton. I mean, the six dunks. And just, I mean, right around the rim, everything around the rim. They liked that small ball lineup, like it was successful for them when they went with Nicholas Batum, but they couldn't defend Ayton, and they just don't have the size or the strength when Batum's out there and they're playing, you know, smaller. I mean, you can play a bunch of 6'8 guys, and DeAndre Ayton's just going to kill you, and I think he did, and the Suns took advantage of that, and eventually, you know, they ended up going to Zubac and DeMarcus Cousins. Those guys played over 31 minutes. That's the most they played in the postseason to try to add some size. But then Booker killed him. So, you know, I think DeAndre's ability to force these teams to make changes has been remarkable so far in these playoffs.
Yeah, look, I mean, rightfully so, Devin Booker is getting so much attention on him. And again, deservedly so with the triple-double. The 40, the 13 rebounds, the 11 assists. The fact that he only had two turnovers. But understand that 18-point third quarter he had in large part was done against those bigger lineups LA was putting out there to try to neutralize DeAndre Ayton. And when they were playing that drop coverage, when they were protecting the rim with those big guys, Booker saw it, he adjusted, he was an assassin from the mid-range, and he carved him up. He just so DeAndre Ayton and his ability to impact Ty Lue's thinking. How am I going to do this? How am I going to play this? I'm going small. This isn't Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert struggled against those small ball lineups for the LA Clippers. DeAndre Ayton didn't. DeAndre Ayton rolled to the rim, played that power game, was on the receiving end of great passes, and he held on to all of them. DeAndre Ayton's evolution this postseason continues to force other teams to do things they'd probably rather not do against the Suns.
And it's just remarkable how well he's played. Like, and it was always that defense. He's just, there was a time, it's just his defense. He's just got to anchor the defense. He just has to play great defense. And now you're seeing an offensive explosion from him. You're seeing him score points. I mean, you know, it was one rebound away from another double-double. I think he's got 7 in the playoffs. So he almost had his 8th double-double. But for so much of the year, it was very much about his ability to play great defense. And now you're seeing, okay, the defense is there, but you're seeing the offensive arsenal of his game come together. It's very simple. I mean, it's like he's kind of like In-N-Out Burger. You know, his game is simple. Like, this is what they do. They make hamburgers. They make hair, and they're good, and they make them, and that's what they do. Or Chick-fil-A. They make chicken sandwiches. They're really great at chicken sandwiches. Like, DeAndre's game is pretty simple. He's not going to shoot a 3. He's not going to shoot a 15-footer. He doesn't have a hook shot. I'm going to take the ball strong to the basket and score.
Yeah. What? Oh, I was smiling for a couple of reasons. Oh. Number one, is there like a hidden menu to DeAndre Ayton like there is at In-N-Out Burger? Because I agree, the simplicity is what makes In-N-Out Burger so great. But there is a hidden secret menu.
They both go animal style. Know what I'm saying?
It's a hidden secret menu, but it's still the ingredients that are on the main. It's not like all of a sudden you get a fish sandwich or something.
But there's, you know, there's.
Wouldn't that be great?
There's.
Can I have the secret fish sandwich?
There's trick names for it, right? You know, the fries animal style. That's not on the menu.
That little packet of sauce that you got in the back over there? My kids like that. They like to dip their fries in it.
Oh, so
but the simplicity, that's what I'm talking. Like, his offensive game is simple. It's just a simple offensive game. I'm going to set a screen,
and I'm going to roll hard.
And
you know what? What to credit to DeAndre, what the real credit here I think is that over the course of the season, that's the simplicity they've beat into DeAndre Ayton is okay. Screen, roll, screen, roll, screen, roll. Understanding that not every time you're going to get the ball, and we're going to ask you to roll. And roll and roll. And you might not get it a lot, big fella. You just might not. And his patience, his willingness to not get the ball on all those hard rolls and yet continue to do it anyway is a real testament to DeAndre Ayton and kind of the growth curve that he's had this year. And I think that is all due to Chris Paul. I think that is 100% the influence Chris
question.
Paul has
Where
had on DeAndre Ayton.
Where would DeAndre Ayton be in his development if they didn't have Chris Paul right now? Where would he be in his development? He wouldn't be where he is right now.
No.
I mean, he'd still be a great talent, but he wouldn't be where like you expect the progress. He's really shot up. Like, I think Chris Paul's got him 2 or 3 years ahead of where maybe he should be.
The phrase I was going to use, we'd be waiting on DeAndre Ayton still. I don't feel like we're waiting on DeAndre Ayton anymore. If there were no Chris Paul, we'd still be waiting on DeAndre Ayton.
Listen, it's not even a question right now. Like, people, they see him playing and what he's done, and there's no Luka talk anymore, or the Suns got it wrong, or anything like that. It's very much about, you know, man, they combined for 60 points. I had this question. I don't know how to look it up. But how many times did Booker and DeAndre Ayton, how many times have Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton combined for 60 points in their careers?
In a game?
Together. Yeah, in a game. Like, again, it would take forever. I'm not asking you to do it. I didn't know how, but it's something I thought about last night. How many times have those two guys combined for 60 points in a basketball game? Because I tell you what, this isn't going to be the last time they combined for 60 points. You know, there's going to be plenty of not plenty, but there'll be more games in which those two guys combine for 60 points in a game.
Well, I could look it up.
I wonder if that was the first or the second. Or, I mean, it would have to be if Booker scored 30, DeAndre would have to score 30. If Booker scored 35, DeAndre would have to score 25. I don't know if that was the first time they've ever done it or not. Maybe it was.
It might have been.
But they combined for 60, and I asked myself this question last night, have they ever, but I was so tired and lazy that I didn't, not lazy, but I didn't want to go look it up, because I didn't, I don't know if there's a shortcut to look it up.
You were too busy in the drive-through line at In-N-Out getting animal-style fries for the kids, right?
We were in California a few weeks ago. It's like, oh, let's go to In-N-Out. Like, why? Like, well, it's better here. Like, is it? Like, is it better in California than
we always go to In-N-Out when we're in California?
Really?
It's the same. It just feels, I don't know, you're in California, just like the thing to do. You go to In-N-Out.
Really?
But,
as
yeah.
The kids would say, it hits different.
Is that what the kids would say?
I think it hits
different. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to look that up about Ayton. I'm not sure. Look, I didn't have time because I was also tired and lazy. I didn't have time to read this story, but I'm going to send it to you tomorrow, and maybe we talk about it a little bit tomorrow. Rethinking the DeAndre Ayton draft a little bit. And not just from the standpoint of Ayton, but Trae Young as well. Rethinking.
The 2018?
The 2018 draft.
We did it Friday.
Oh, did you do that story Friday? Oh, okay.
That was our big story on Friday, the 2018 draft. Redoing the. I think the story had come out Friday.
Was it on the Ringer? Was it on the Ringer?
Yeah, it was the Ringer.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
It was the Ringer piece.
That's what you get for missing a few days' work.
Luke filling in for you. You did that story already.
All right.
The 2018 draft class on the Ringer. Rewriting the narratives of the 2018 draft class.
That was the story. Yeah. I will erase that from my reading list on my Google Chrome.
No need.
I will not send. I'll read
That's
it.
A good read.
Because I want to read it, but we won't talk about
it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good read.
Yeah, okay. So if you're wondering, yeah, we're stalling. We're tap dancing. Nothing yet.
I got this earlier from the Suns. Injury report coming out today at 5. Well, as asked on, is there going to be an update on Chris? Injury report at 5. It's 5:10 now. The injury report has not been released yet. So
right.
We're still waiting on the injury report to be released by the Suns.
So you stay with us here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Once we have it, we will give it to you.
See what we can do. But in the meantime, when we come back here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, Paul George did everything he could to keep the Clippers close in Game 1. But with no Kawhi Leonard, the rest of the LA role players need to do a better job. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Burns and Gambo talks Suns Clippers now.
Paul George, 34 points yesterday. 5 assists, 4 rebounds. He, too, only had 1 turnover. He had a couple of steals. Made 7 three-pointers. And despite a really good game, afterwards said, we have to understand that Phoenix is a different caliber of team than the other rounds that we've played so far.
You just got to find a way to adjust. This is a different caliber team than the other two teams we faced. A little bit more guard play. We got to figure out how to counter, which we will. We'll figure out another game plan.
Yeah, they are a different caliber because Rudy Gobert was exploitable against those small ball lineups in the last round. And in the previous round before that, Luka Doncic wasn't as good as getting everybody involved the way Devin Booker was yesterday. It's a different animal the Clippers are facing in this Western Conference Finals. How do they adjust, and how do they get guys around Paul George to be better? That seems to be the key here, right?
You remember the Nuggets series. It was all about, oh, my God, Michael Porter Jr.'s got to play better, and Austin Rivers has to play better, and all of those guys had to play better that weren't playing very well. And it's the same thing here for the Clippers. Like, you know, the role players have to play better. For the Lakers, it was they got to get more out of Schroeder. They got to get more out of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They got to get more out of Alex Caruso. They had to get more out of those guys. And Denver, the same thing. Eventually, when Morris and Barton played well, that was in the fourth game, they were somewhat competitive in that game. But Morris didn't give them anything early. Remember, that first game was like, oh, my God, he missed all his shots. The Clippers are in the same boat. The Suns are just too deep. They've got too many guys that can kill you. And the Clippers got a good game out of Paul George and a good game out of Reggie Jackson, nothing else. Marcus Morris was 3 of 11 from the field, 0 of 5 from deep. He had 6 points. This is the same guy that had 24 in one game against the Jazz and 25 in another. So he went from games of 24 and 25 down to he couldn't hit any shots. He had 6 points. He was a minus 11. Luke Kennard gave him nothing, 6 points. Nicholas Batum, he had 16 on Friday when they took out the Jazz. He had 5 in this game.
Yeah.
Terrence Mann had 39 in the last game. He had 9. So I think for the Clippers, it's like, you got to try to match up with the Suns' role players. Like, you've got a star in Paul George that could probably match up with Devin Booker, you know, stride for stride. But the Suns' role players are better than your role players. And unless those guys step up and play well, they're going to have a hard time winning some games.
And that's the thing is, I think one or two of those guys can step up in moments, right? Can Luke Kennard have a good singular game? Sure. Batum, yes. Terrence Mann, we saw it the other night against Utah. Of course, but can they do it over the course of an entire series? That to me is really the question. Look, the Clippers are going to win a game this series. They're far better team than the Nuggets were and than the Lakers were without Anthony Davis. It's the question of consistently, where do they get that production from on a consistent game-by-game basis? And without Kawhi Leonard, who this injury update we do have, by the way, not that this is going to surprise anybody, Kawhi Leonard has been officially ruled out for Game 2. We all sort of assumed that.
He didn't even make the trip.
Yeah, they made it official today saying he wasn't going to be out. But without him, Terrence Mann, Marcus Morris, Nicholas Batum, Patrick Beverley, Zubac, Rondo, who one of those guys might have a great game or two. Will they have a great series? I just don't think they have enough guys who can have a great series against the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, they got to find guys that do. I mean, because you said this about, I mean, what was the Denver series? If they get 60 something, if you get certain amount of points, where's the other 70 points came
from? If Jokic gives you 40, if you have to score 120 points to beat the Phoenix Suns,
yeah,
and Jokic gives you 40, where are you getting the other 80 from? And this is kind of the same thing applies here.
The Clips had 114.
Yeah, so they came close.
But you did get Reggie Jackson that chipped in a lot. But the question is where do you get, and Paul George had a great game, right? He made a lot of shots.
He had a great game. He faded in the fourth, and I know we talked about that a little bit earlier. I think one of the keys for the Clippers is to get Paul George to be better in the fourth quarter. Now, I know there's not a lot of rest time in between these games, but there's a little more between games one and two than there was between the end of the Jazz series and game one, because there's no travel involved, you're not flying back and forth, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a chance for a better, more energetic. He had a really good game yesterday. It's just distributing where and when he was great a little bit better. Because if he was better in the fourth quarter, I'm telling you, the Clippers might have stole that one yesterday. Not to blame it on Paul George, but he did not play well in the fourth quarter. They might have stole that one if he played better in the fourth quarter.
But part of that is he's not getting any rest. These guys are going to be tired. They're going to be exhausted. They had a long series against Dallas. They had a long series against the Jazz. They had to play the Suns with the only day off was a travel day. So, it could be where he just is going to have to play on fumes and see if he can carry that team. Now, again, they've got guys capable of doing it, stepping up and playing well. I mean, that Terrence Mann, that Mann thing was just like, the chances of him doing that again, I think, was slim. He's just never been that type of player. He gave it to him, and it was great. And he'll play better. Like, do you expect these guys to play better than they did in this game? But those guys have to be consistent. Like, campaign's consistent. Jay Crowder's consistent. Mikal Bridges is consistent. Even Cam Johnson is consistent. Like, it's very rare that these guys are inconsistent. Like with these other teams, you don't know what you're going to get from game to game. With the Suns, you're within a parameter of what you're going to expect to get from these guys, and they usually give it to you.
Paul George scored 34 points. The Clippers scored 114. They made 23 point baskets, and they still lost by 6. Now, is there room for improvement? To your point, yes. Are there guys who can play better? Yes. Are there things the Clippers can do better? Of course. But to me, those are Paul George's points should have been enough. Their points total as a team oftentimes is enough. And 20 made three-pointers. That's sort of been they get to 20, they usually win this postseason. If they're that prolific from the three-point line, they usually win basketball games. They didn't yesterday. The rest thing is a big one. And that we were talking with Tim Bontemps earlier of ESPN.com, and he said, look, I don't know if there's a real adjustment here to be made by the LA Clippers. They just might be out of gas. Look, you're down 0-2, you have to play a 7-game series against Dallas. You're down 0-2, you have to play a 6-game series against Utah.
So they played 3 extra games than the Suns did.
We pointed out that Suns run back in, 2006, where they played 7-game series against the Lakers, 7-game series against the Clippers, and they just ran out of gas against the Dallas Mavericks. And you could see it. You could just, like a car trying to get to the gas station that runs out of gas 3 miles away from it. That could be what happens to the Clippers this series. They just
beating the Suns in Denver, once they came home, they were home. They didn't have to play a game five here and then go back to Denver for game six and then come back again for game seven. So,
right.
You know, that rest is, and again, I thought the Suns were a little rusty in the first. They missed like their first four three-pointers. They only scored 21 points. I thought there was a little bit of rust there in the first, but then they kind of got it going in the second, and once they started going, they just didn't stop. But if there was any sign of rust, it was very early, and it was only in that first quarter.
Yeah, and remember, too, with that Dallas Mavericks series, Rajah Bell tore his calf muscle as well. So, I mean, not only did they run out of gas, they started running out of bodies. Man, this postseason, it is maybe more than ever just a pure war of attrition. Who's got the healthiest guys at the end?
This year more so than any other year.
More so than any other year I can remember, man. Guys are just falling off by the wayside, right? I mean, does anybody really think the Brooklyn Nets are, that the Bucks are a better basketball team than the Nets? No, yeah, but they're a healthier one.
Now you're 2 years into the Nets. You're 2 years into the Nets and they haven't won anything. And every one of those guys is eligible for an extension this offseason. That's going to pay them a gazillion dollars if you want to keep if you want to keep those three together. I mean, you got to break out the Brinks truck. You're going to pay $500 to $600 million for those guys and have them until they're really old.
Yeah. Win a pair of tickets to game two of the Western Conference Finals. Text the word ticket right now when it's safe to do so. It's a 620-620. Listen for your name every hour starting at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Your chance to win Phoenix Suns playoff tickets. Again, text the word ticket to 620-620. In addition to the Suns' team success, this playoff run has served as a personal validation for Devin Booker, and yesterday's Game 1 was quite possibly the very best we've seen out of Book. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Burns and Gambo talks Suns Clippers now.
Rondo hands it back to Reggie Jackson. Jackson on the drive. Pass out front. Bridges picks it off. Two on one. Bridges to Booker to Bridges. Wham, bam, slam.
Devin Booker is the next Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
It is official.
Now he is getting to show America that he is indeed one of the best players, not only 25 and under, but one of the better players in the league, in the world.
Devin Booker is one of the best all-around players in this league.
He's an assassin.
He's the closest thing offensively to Kobe's game in the sense that he can kill you from anywhere.
Yeah. One of the best all-around games I've ever seen.
Devin Booker is a mini Mamba.
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
Just came down.
All right. A little bit of a delay in the news.
But there is no ulterior motive behind the delay. Chris Paul is listed as out on the Suns injury report for Game 2, per our Kellen Olsen. Marcus Morris is not on the injury list for the LA Clippers, but that's not the name we were all waiting for. Chris Paul, due to health and safety protocols, is listed as out for Game 2 for the Phoenix Suns. So, as we expected, we took the long way to get there. You know, like you were told to expect it at 5.
Yes.
We were both, just this last commercial break, Gambo and I were talking to each other about how odd it is that it's a half hour late. Is there anything to read into that? Is there something cooking? Is there something going on? For goodness sakes, we've had people tracking flights from Los Angeles wondering if it was Chris Paul on the flight.
I was waiting, but I was led to believe, and I said, I'm expecting that he'll remain in health and safety protocol. I'd gotten some hints that he would remain in health and safety protocol without being able to report it. And we were just waiting to see. And as the delay came, you were just wondering, okay, there's a delay. I wonder if that's good news, you know?
Yeah.
Could an extra half an hour mean anything? But Chris Paul remains in health and safety protocol for the Suns. He is listed as out for game two.
Okay. So, Devin Booker, go do it again.
Yeah.
Devin Booker, hey, good job. Congrats. Don't get too fat on it right now, because you got to go out there and do it again. The Suns are going to have to go out and do it again. Now, could Chris Paul clear in time for tomorrow? There has to be the two negative tests. He has to pass the cardiac test, and that there might not be enough time for all of that to happen by tomorrow. They won a game without him. There is nothing in my mind that tells me they can't win another without him, as long as Kawhi Leonard remains sidelined. And Kawhi Leonard has also officially been ruled out for this game. You said it best earlier in the show. No Kawhi for the Clippers, no Chris Paul for the Suns. That's a trade-off you take every day that ends in Y.
I would. I think you take that trade-off because I think the Suns are deeper, and I think the Suns are better. So I think when you take out, look, the best player on either team is Kawhi Leonard, okay? Kawhi Leonard is the best player on either team. You take him out, and it's an advantage for the Suns. Even if you have to sacrifice Paul, it's an advantage for Phoenix. So, look, I'd much rather have Paul and they don't have Kawhi, but that's not the way it's going to be. But the Clippers are in a worse situation with no Kawhi than the Suns are with no Chris Paul.
Yeah, and it should be pointed out, and Jordan just pointed this out to me a second ago, he is listed as out for game two, so maybe that means there is nothing that can change between now and when the game is played. I mean, we are 24 and a half hours away from game two. Out is out. So out sort of suggests that there's nothing that can change over the next 23 and a half hours that would allow him to play. So I don't want to fuel any false narratives about his ability to get ready for this thing or not. Devin Booker, he doesn't have to have a triple-double again for the Suns to win. But you need more of the same now. You're going to need Devin Booker to continue to run the show as well as he did. Devin Booker to continue to make the good decisions that he made. Devin Booker to continue to get his teammates involved. You're going to need to see Cameron Payne. I would assume things would stay the same with the starting lineup with no Chris Paul.
Yeah, I wouldn't change that. I mean, the only thing I look at is Etuan Moore. I mean, he didn't play very well in those 11 minutes. But you know what? He hasn't played a whole lot, so maybe you give him another chance. You're not asking a lot for him. You're asking 12 minutes, 10 minutes, 10, 11 minutes.
You got to give Booker a blow in there.
You have to. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree. And that's what I'm not asking Booker to be Kevin Durant. You know, if it's game seven, I will. Yeah. I mean, if it's game seven, I might do that.
You came close to asking him to be Kevin Durant. He played, 44 minutes in yesterday's game? He wasn't on the bench a lot. So Etuan comes
couple
in.
Couple minutes here and there, just a few minutes. Hey, give him an extra minute here, a minute there. You know, that could, you know, keep the guy fresh, as fresh as possible. But I think what you're looking for is Etuan is, and you believe in Etuan. Like, they're not going to, I don't think they discard Etuan, but you're not going to have him play in big minutes in the fourth quarter. It's just, can you help us a little bit, you know, early in the game in the first half?
And Etuan has shown very capable of giving this team good minutes when he's been called upon. There just hasn't been much of a need, you know, with the backcourt, the way it's played, with Cameron Payne, the way he's played, there has not been much of a need for Etuan Moore. I still believe Etuan Moore can give them 10 to 12 good minutes per game in this series. It just didn't happen last night. Doesn't mean that it can't happen. The Suns, Devin Booker, and his greatness yesterday, man, it continues to be talked about all around the league, which is something, quite frankly, Jay Crowder expected after a day like yesterday.
I mean, I expect it. I know what type of player he is. I don't understand how everyone is acting surprised at this point. Obviously, this is his first time at this level, at this stage, but he's capable. He's more than capable. He's more than ready. He prepared like no other. He's in the gym. He's preparing. He's watching film. So it's no coincidence that he's having games and big games for us, and like a game tonight. We expect him to do that, make plays for not only himself, but for others, and that's what he did tonight. He controlled the game and made plays, made his reads, and he was very poised. So that's what I expect. I knew what he was capable of. That's why I wanted to come over and play alongside him, just to be a part of it and give him some help to win some games.
Look, outside of Ricky Rubio, I mean, he's been their best point guard for years. You know, Devin Booker.
Yes, he has.
I mean, Rubio came in. It was okay, finally. But we've always talked about Booker being a guy who can handle the ball and run the point. And late in games, you know, you want him out there. You know, right, even with Rubio last year, there were times you wanted Book to handle it because Ricky Root wasn't a great shooter. Like, you know, and that could hurt you at times. So having Book out there handling the ball was the best option for the Phoenix Suns late in games. Look, and I think, and I look at campaign too, like, you know, I keep saying, like, man, he's one of the best backup point guards out there. I mean, I wonder if he's thinking to himself, I got a shot to prove myself that I could start in this league, you know, with these opportunities here. I mean, every opportunity he's got, he's showcasing his skills to all these other teams. He's a free agent. He's never made big money. He's on a minimum contract, Cameron Payne, and he's playing fantastic. You know, and I look at him as one of the best backup point guards out there, but maybe there's another team that looks at him and says, hey, that guy may be able to start for us.
I might be butchering this because I didn't watch a replay of the game. I just watched it once. And I know you were at the game yesterday, and I don't know if you rewatched the broadcast when you got home or not. But I think at one point during yesterday's game, Mark Jackson said that Cameron Payne might be the most improved point guard he's ever seen in his time either covering, coaching, or playing in the NBA. That he's never seen a more improved point guard. And when he said it, I said, wow. And I was watching the game with my wife, and she said, what? I said, well, Mark Jackson just said this thing about Cameron Payne. And coming from the source, considering who Mark Jackson was, that's pretty high praise, right? Given that he's, what?
Considered one of the better point guards.
And certainly not one of the best point guards, but considered one of the better point guards to ever play in the NBA.
His stats say he is, especially with the assists.
Yeah, so for him to say that about Cameron Payne is high, high praise. I think you look at the way that game ended, and this is nothing against Cameron Payne yesterday. Last 5.5, 6 minutes of that game, Cam Payne picks up his fifth. He goes to the bench. He didn't foul out. Picks up his fifth. He goes to the bench, and the Suns closed with the point book lineup. Mikal at the two, Cam Johnson at the three, Jay Crowder at the four, DeAndre Ayton at the five. If the Suns have the lead or are close in the fourth quarter of tomorrow's game, I would expect exactly the same thing. As long as Cam Johnson is playing as well as he played last night, I would expect exactly the same thing.
What was the last day of the Suns-Nuggets series? Was it Sunday?
Sunday.
So, and I think we believe Paul tested positive on Monday.
That's what we believe, yes.
So this would be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 7 days. 7 days. Tomorrow would be day 8.
Wednesday would be day 9. And
Thursday would be game 10. And then Thursday's game 3.
And that's
10 days.
Yeah.
So if he clears that hurdle with no symptoms...
Look, I can't remember who said it. Somebody had said all along, 10 days is kind of the standard. You know, 10 days is sort of the... So if it's 10 days, it's game 3. Now, if you can go up 2-0 without Chris Paul. I know the Clippers have come back down 0-2 twice already in this postseason.
They can't keep pulling that rabbit out of the hat, man.
And they should not be trifled with in that. I want to pay them their due respect, but I agree with you. You can only go to that hat so many times you're going
to
pull out a rabbit every single time.
Yep.
You can only do it so much.
And you're playing with fire right there,
yep.
Man. You're playing with fire, getting down 0-2 and trying to win series.
You can get up 2-0 without Chris Paul, and you get him back on the road going to L.A. Yeah, I don't. And then maybe Bontemps would be absolutely right. They just wouldn't have the horses to be able to come back from that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the NBA's Final Four is all set. It's a strange, eclectic, unpredictable group of teams, and it just adds to the sense that everything is lining up just right for the Phoenix Suns. That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Burns and Gambo talks Suns Clippers now.
Durant takes it from Harden, front court right. 2-3 Durant, top of the arc, guarded by Holiday. Rises for a long 2, air ball, out of bounds with less than a second to go.
If ever there was a shot that looked like a dude was out of gas, that was it from Kevin Durant in overtime against the Bucks. He was spent. Had nothing left.
No.
And that air ball was everything you needed to know about his physical state. He had done everything he could.
It's one of the best games I've seen in a long time. I mean, I put that up there as with one of the great games. I mean, it was just a phenomenal basketball game. I mean, they would go in, you know, toe-to-toe with each other the whole time. And I wanted the Bucks to win so bad. I don't want this Nets team doing anything. So the Bucks reached the Eastern Conference Finals, second time in three years, ninth time in team history. It was a great game. I mean, Durant appeared to have the game won. He hit a shot at the end of regulation that we all thought was a three. If you're watching it, you thought it was a three. And it would have gave them a one-point win. And it went in, but his toe was on the line, so they went to overtime. And in overtime, the Nets scored first, And then it took 4 minutes before the Bucks scored to tie it. Giannis tied it. And then it was only one more basket, a shot by Middleton with 40 seconds left that went in, a turnaround by Middleton. And then after that, the Bucks had a chance to seal it, but Brook Lopez didn't realize the shot clock was winding down. He turned it over, shot clock violation. There was a great block. But after that, Brook Lopez had a great blocked shot of Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, he blocked. Durant drove to the basket, got blocked by Brook Lopez. And at the end of the game, Durant airball, sheer exhaustion. I mean, he played the entire game, all 53 minutes, had 48 points, took 36 shots. Giannis had 40 points, 13 rebounds, just a tremendous basketball game, tremendous.
And we're starting to get a little short on time here, but then the Philly-Milwaukee, or the Philly-Atlanta game, I should say, last night, a good game. Trae Young only hit 5 shots for the game. He was about 5 of 23. So that kind of altered his stat line a little bit. The Ben Simmons conversation in Philly is going to be a real fascinating one. They owe him $140 million. That seems to be about as untradeable as a player can get, given his limitations.
Would you rather have him start a playoff game right now or a campaign?
Oh, not even close. Not even close. Ben Simmons is too much of a...
Oh, man.
He's too much of a liability. Too many ways he can...
Burn you.
Negate the good stuff. Too many ways he can burn you. Oh, yeah. Not even close.
Simmons, man. He can't make a free throw. I mean, the guy can't make a free throw. He was 22 out of 67 from the line in the postseason. They fouled him and sent him to the line 67 times, and he only made 22 of them.
Yep, so it's the Hawks and it's the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, and maybe the coolest thing of all when it comes to this Final Four. The Milwaukee Bucks haven't won a title since 1971. The Hawks haven't won a title since 1958. The Clippers and the Suns have never won a title. This is very un-NBA-like. We are not accustomed to seeing a Final Four like this.
There's some new blood in there. And you know what? For the NBA, tough for the NBA. So they didn't get the Lakers, and they didn't get... You know, the Nets, tough. I mean, you could have a really great NBA Finals with some terrific young players in this thing.
Yeah, it is time for What's On Tonight, brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C. Proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. You got NHL Stanley Cup playoff action tonight. The Lightning beating the Islanders 3-0 with about 30 seconds to go in the first period there. That series is tied 2-2. And then, of course, we have Diamondbacks baseball coming up later tonight. It's time to get you ready for that.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Cheesecake Blasts for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
This, Jordan's right. This is really a good tweet. How bad has this year been for the Arizona Diamondbacks? They've played 73 games. Ben Simmons shot 73 free throws in the postseason. Simmons made 25. The Diamondbacks have won 20.
Ben Simmons has more free throws made than the D-backs have won.
Ben Simmons has a better percentage than the Arizona Diamondbacks do when it comes to wins to games.
D-backs are going to win tonight.
Made free throws to free throws attempted.
D-backs will win tonight.
Ben Simmons has a better chance of hitting a free throw than the Diamondbacks do of winning a game. And you're saying it ends
tonight.
Anybody
want to bet me lunch on it? Come on, who's got it? Who wants to bet lunch? I got the D-backs winning tonight.
Nah, I'm not going to take that bet.
Okay.
Nope, I'm not going to take that bet. Although, we would have, both of us, the poll question a week ago
was
who's going to win a game next, the Suns or the Diamondbacks? The Diamondbacks said, what do we decide, 5 chances at it, 6 chances at it? And they didn't win any of them, and the Suns did win a game before the Diamondbacks won another one.
I got the streak coming to an end tonight. D-backs win.
All right. Well, you will not get a bet from me on that one. It's time for our pitching matchup tonight from Chase Field, and it's brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURG Simpson.com. Good lawyers, changing lives. Merrill Kelly
gets the start for the Arizona Diamondbacks. 2-7, 5.40 ERA against Brett Anderson, the lefty. 2-4, 4.24 ERA.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks have lost the last 8 starts by Merrill Kelly. The last one, he only went 3 innings. He had a 47-pitch first inning. He had 85 pitches after 3. They had to take him out of the game. I like Merrill Kelly, but they're not winning any of the games the starting pitchers are pitching, but they've lost their last 8. The Diamondbacks have lost the last 8 games that he started.
17 straight losses for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Will it be 18?
17.
I'm telling you, ends right here.
It's time for our standings, and they're brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. Look at those crazy San Francisco Giants. Best Man. Record still in the National League, 46-26. The LA Dodgers pushing. They've won 3 straight, 8 of their last 10. They're a game and a half back. San Diego Padres, a 4-game win streak, has them 5 games back. And yes, the Arizona Diamondbacks are 26.5 games out of first place right now. In fact, the San Francisco Giants have the best record in Major League Baseball.
They had like a 5% chance to make the playoffs when the season started. Now it's like at 55%.
Keys to the game time.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by Sell2Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to Sell2Sands.com today.
Yeah, but look, they're not that good offensively. They're last in Major League Baseball with a .212 batting average. 22nd in runs, averaging just 4 runs a game. So the key to their team is Avisaíl García. He leads the team with 13 home runs and 40 RBIs. Try to keep him from putting one into the pool, and the Diamondbacks will give themselves a chance to
All
win.
All right, Gambo says the streak ends tonight.
I'd say it ends.
And I, you know what? I'm not going to bet you on that one because I want
You
the
want
streak
it to end.
To end.
We want
need
it to end.
The streak to end. That's it. We're out of here. Diamondbacks baseball is up next. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone. Goodbye to you.